The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Now they can play a little safer, but they're not going to. Knicks is back, throws it downfield, caught, touchdown, Williams!
And welcome back to the Cover 3 podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Barton Simmons. I'm Chip Patterson. We are doing the Hurry Up Hot Seat Countdown, the top 25 teams in the CBS Sports 2020 preseason rankings. Stories all written by the authors who are here on the hot seat. And today, back to the hot seat, we've got ourselves a real Auburn homer here. We got to welcome him in. There we go. Barrett Salee, you're back on the hot seat.
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
It's good, man. It's good. Loving these quick podcasts and loving talking about actual college football, like things that might actually happen in a season that might happen in 2020. It's great.
The Auburn Tigers are coming into a season where they don't have the double dip at Jordan Hare against their two biggest rivals. This is when they're on the road both times. So this is when, according to the narrative, we're supposed to see Gus Malzahn coach his way back onto the hot seat. Let's open up the discussion here. Are we on schedule for this to be another standard issue even year?
I don't think so. As long as what he says actually goes. And you said that, you know, obviously the Georgia-Alabama road game thing happens. Well, they swap Georgia to the middle of the season and get LSU at home during Cupcake Saturday. So they actually go LSU, Alabama in consecutive weeks to close the season. It just so happens that the LSU game's at home. But no, I think the schedule's tough. There's no doubt. But I think because Gus went out and hired Chad Morris, that there's this sense around the program, and talking to some folks around the program, you know, I think it's pretty palpable that Gus taking his hands off the offense is actually something that he's going to do this time. You know, every single time with Gus Malzahn, you sort of don't really know what actually is going to happen and if he's actually telling the truth. But since him and Chad are boys, I think that this time you will actually see Gus Malzahn let Chad Morris do his thing and maybe focus more of Gus's time on head coaching things.
Okay, so you're buying it. All right, got it. You believe Gus Malzahn and acknowledge that he's lied to us before. So yes. I'll accept you as the naive, innocent person that you are, Barrett, and believe you that you do believe Gus Malzahn. That said, I mean, ultimately this season, it feels like just sort of boils down to what that passing offense looks like. And so there's a couple elements to that. There is, what does a Gus Malzahn offense look like with Chad Morris running it? And then what does Bo Nix look like in year two? I don't know. I want you to tell me, what are those two things going to look like? Is it going to look putt-putt in Chip's,
That's words? Right.
Or is it going to look like a fluid, beautiful pass game and Bo Nix is going to be dealing? What are we going to be dealing with?
I think it's going to look more like a fluid offense and Bo Nix dealing. And there are a couple reasons for that. One, obviously, starting as a true freshman's tough. He's going to have that experience. Two, I think Auburn's offense, even though it was very sporadic and struggled against good defenses last year, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that, yeah, Gus kind of lied to us and he was all over the offense and his attention was getting pulled in different directions and all that other stuff. But I also think that internally they realized that they actually were very limited in what they could do because A, Booby Whitlow was not an every down back, but then B, and I think more importantly, even though that offensive line was experienced, they're not very good. Like those, and I know individually they were, and individually the draft sort of proves that they didn't play good as a unit. They didn't the year before either. And I think those two things, the running back situation, the offensive line, really prevented Gus from doing what he wanted to do. And now, you have an offensive line shakeup. I get that. They're still talented. I think the fact that you have a better running back group in DJ Williams with a year of experience, Sean Shivers with a year of experience, and Tank Bigsby coming in, that you're going to be able to see them work off that play action, weave in more tempo, and allow Bo Nix to go find Seth Williams and go find Anthony Schwartz, assuming he's healthy and not running, 100 meters somewhere other than the United States. I just think that you're going to see more balance in that. Yeah, Gus was a problem last year, but he wasn't the only problem. And some of the things that might have been perceived as strengths really weren't strengths at all.
Okay, so I'm thinking about what you were just talking about there, and I don't believe that Auburn has elite wide receiver play right now, especially going up against some of the best secondaries that you'll find in the country on their schedule. Like, can you sell me on that wide receiver room being able to be difference makers? Because I'm thinking about Chad Morris, offensive coordinator for Clemson, making Taj Boyd get him NFL money. But the difference there was that Clemson wide receiver room was elite. And Chad Morris's offense with that Clemson personnel was fantastic. So if you can sell me on the wide receivers, then I might start believing in this Chad Morris Auburn offense.
Well, I'm going to disappoint you because I can't. I can sell you on Seth Williams being really good, but beyond that, no. I think that they've got potential. If Bo Nix has enough time in the pocket, hitting Anthony Schwartz deep is not that hard as long as it's on the money, because Anthony Schwartz is going to get behind every single secondary. If they run fly routes with Anthony Schwartz, he's going to be open like every single time. He's that fast. So, that's not proven. Matthew Hill, not proven. Those guys, they're all right. That's about all you can say about them. But I do think that if you have a number one who's pretty darn solid, he's not elite, but he's pretty darn solid. Seth Williams is a good player. Then, you've got at least a decent foundation. But do they have the wide receivers to go, win shootout after shootout after shootout? No, they don't. And if they have to do that, then that's going to be a massive problem.
All right, enough of these softballs on the offensive side of the ball. They just lost the first round pick in Derek Brown. They just lost the first round pick in Igbinoghene. Sorry, it's been a while since I've practiced that one. Marlon Davidson, second round pick. Daniel Thomas, fifth round pick. I mean, that was the identity of their team, was basically Derek Brown and Marlon Davidson, and then those guys on the back end. What do they do to respond to those kind of guys leaving? I know they've got some depth remaining in the secondary and a few playmakers here, there, and there, but up front, how do you weather that kind of a loss?
I mean, you pray. I think that's job number one. Beyond that, Tyrone Truesdell was okay last year. Obviously, Big Cat Brian off the edge is solid, but you've got to develop guys. They don't have anybody. Like, Truesdell's probably the only one that you can count on and say, okay, that's my guy. Outside of him, do you move T.D. Moultrie down and let him play more of an inside role? Maybe. They liked him at Buck before, and he sort of got lost in the shuffle, especially with Big Cat Bryant doing what he did. So, no, there's not really anybody where you can sit there and trust inside. And that, I think, will definitely hurt Brian outside. I think the one thing, though, for them, Barton, that I think is really solid is people didn't realize how good KJ Britt was at linebacker last year. And, you know, Zakobi McClain, the guy who had the 100-yard scoop and score against Alabama, and freshman Owen Popo were pretty solid, too. So the strength not being up front, it hurts, but they are really strong in the middle. But the back end obviously is a problem too. You know, I'm not sure Christian Tutt's really that good. He got exposed by Minnesota. He's all right. Smoke Monday's good, but you know, yeah, they've got some issues. They're going to count on some inexperienced guys, and that's why it's really important for them to play good complementary football and have that defense step up. Because
but
what's that?
No, you're good.
No, I mean, if you're going to have some receivers that aren't tough, I mean, look at what happened with Georgia last year. Their receivers were a problem. If Auburn has that problem, then are you going to count on your defense week in and week out to be rock solid? I don't think you can do that for Auburn this year.
The objection that you heard was me getting some late evidence into play. I hope the judge excuses it. So you've got Auburn at 10-2 right now. Is that still your number?
That still is my number. It is
wins against everybody other than at Georgia and at Alabama. That's a win against LSU at home. That's a win against Texas A&M at home. Wins against Kentucky, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Southern Miss, UNC, Ole Miss, and Alcorn State.
Yes. And I think the two that you sort of have to worry about are Texas A&M and LSU. They are at home. Obviously, it's a tough place to play. Both of those teams, I'm still sort of those three teams, A&M, LSU, and Auburn. It's just like throw them in a bucket and pull a name out. Those two being at home certainly help Auburn, but would I be surprised if they lost at home? No, I mean, not at all. Because all of those teams, extremely talented, experienced in some areas, I think flawed in others, and then inexperienced in others. So I think 10-2 when we did those stories for Auburn, it was a very apprehensive 10-2, just like it was for LSU 9-3, just like it was for Texas A&M 9-3. You know, you kind of just sort of have to sign your name at some point and say, all right, this is going to be it.
I'll definitely stand by that. Doing that exercise and having to not pick a win total over or under, but specifically call your shot for every single game, you get stuck with some weird results that you just got to live with. Yeah. Okay.
You kind of look at it and it's like a dog that hears a dog whistle. You turn your head and you're kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
So you're straight up pulling Gus Malzahn off the bungee ride at the state fair. Like if he goes 10-2 on a year where this is the hot seat year, this is another hot seat season, then, and then he'll have Bo Nix coming back the following year.
Oh, rock national championship talk.
we're on the fast track there, brother.
Yeah, I mean, that probably would be the trajectory. I mean, that is, not to say that'll happen, but that seems like the storyline is going to, in my mind anyway, play out. You know, and the thing with Gus, I tell people this all the time, and I don't think it resonates as well as it probably should. The pressure on Gus Malzahn is there, but he's been in a position where he's had playoff hopes, four of the last 6 years in November? Something
sure.
like that.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, and so like that's pretty darn good. And I think there's this idea that everything that he does and that any Auburn coach does is compared directly to Nick Saban. And that's not true. Like it really isn't true. Now, for the older generation, it would be, because Alabama's Alabama, it's big brother, little brother. But I grew up in an Auburn household. My dad's old school. I went to school there in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I've seen sort of how the fan base perceives success change during Tommy Tuberville's Fear the Thumb run, and then winning the national championship in 2010 with a different sort of identity. I think Auburn people that are my age and younger understand that Auburn can win being Auburn. Like, it can win being Auburn, independent of whatever Alabama's doing, even if it's in the middle, which 2010 was and 2013 was, of the Alabama dynasty. And so this idea that he's just on this consistently smoking hot seat, I think that's only true for influential people who are old school Auburn people, because younger folks don't think that way.
Gus has won over the online community, it sounds like.
Well, that's impossible to do at times.
That's though. True. He is Barris Alee, and
pass catching ability.
Man, on fire over here. Follow him on Twitter at Barris Alee.
Jim Patterson on the ones and twos over there.
Thank you very much.
See you guys.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.